which absorbed him utterly as long as he was engaged upon them. Towards evening, however, the breaking of a test tube brought his research to a premature ending, and he sprang up from his chair with an exclamation of impatience and a clouded brow. "A day's work ruined, Watson," said he, striding across to the window. "Ah, the stars are out and the wind has fallen. What do you say to a ramble through London?" I was weary of our little sitting-room and gladly acquiesced. For 3 hours we strolled about together, watching the ever-changing kaleidoscope of life as it ebbs and flows through Fleet Street and the Strand. Holmes had shaken off his temporary ill-humour, and his characteristic talk, with its keen observance of detail and subtle power of inference, held me amused and enthralled. It was 10 o'clock before we reached Baker Street again. A brougham was waiting at our door. A doctor's. General practitioner, I perceive, said Holmes. Not been long in practice, but has a good deal to do. Come to consult us, I fancy. Lucky we came back. I was sufficiently conversant with Holmes's methods to be able to follow his reasoning and to see that the nature and state of the various medical instruments in the wicker basket, which hung in the lamplight inside the brougham, had given him the data for his swift deduction. The light in our window above showed